What is going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Beyond the Junkyard podcast, episode number 114. We are live and in charge on Thursday night, like always. I am your host, Junkyard James, and with me, as always, the man with the most sauce, Cody Marinara. How are you doing, my friend?
You know, we're doing good. We're doing fine. We're doing great. We're here. We're live. It's Thursday night. It's 9 o'clock on the East Coast, and we're doing good. You know who's not doing good?
I'm sure you're going to tell me, right?
I mean, I was hoping you were just going to say who instead of, you know, just having me hold my dick over here.
Who?
Thank you. There it is. The Carolina Hurricanes. I love it. Anyways, you were great. How are you doing, sir?
Oh, that was good. That was good. You know who else is not doing good? At least right now? The Philadelphia Phillies. They're getting their ass kicked right now by the Atlanta Braves.
They're getting their ass kicked to the shittiest team in baseball. And shittier than the Rockies and the White Sox combined.
This ain't no sports podcast. This is a wrestling podcast, and I appreciate everybody for tuning in tonight. You see the four little icons at the top right-hand corner of the screen. I moved it on you from the last time we were here. It was on the bottom right, but now it's on the top right. I got four things I need y'all to do if you're watching the stream tonight. I need you to hit the thumbs up button for me. Let's try and get... let's be modest here. Let's be modest. If we could get like
one like, that'd be great.
One like, yeah, let's go. Seriously though, let's push for like three likes. Let's go for three likes. Three for Dale. We gotta start somewhere, you know. Give me three likes. Leave a comment if you're in the chat watching live. Share this with your friends. And let's subscribe, hit that notification bell. We've been on a hot streak getting some subscriptions here the past couple weeks. We've gotten about five or so subscriptions in the past couple days. We're up to 43 subscribers. I'm going to set a lofty goal right now. We're halfway through the year. Sunday is the 1st of June. We're almost halfway through the year. We're at 43. I think we can get to 100 by the end of the year if we keep pace. So let's try and work towards that goal of 100 subscribers by the end of the year. We don't buy subscribers on this channel. I can't afford that one, but this is authentic, real commentary, and the fans, we appreciate you for being here. So hit that subscribe button, share this channel with your friends, and be a part of the community. The real wrestling community, and then join the Discord as well. You can find that link in the Discord at junkyardmediagroup.com. We have some pretty fun discussions over there in the chat, and trying to do some AEW like watch along chats, but they've been infiltrated by the enemy. But anyways,
that's what you get.
Right. Let's start this show on a good note, and that is with one of our favorite new segments that we have started. But first, we got to give a good thanks to our friends there at Dubby Energy. If you're looking for that boost to keep you sharp without all the jitters and the crash, say hello to Dubby Energy. It's packed with clean, transparent ingredients, no sugar, and no artificial junk. Just pure crash-free focus. Whether you need to stay up to play some video games, or you're working, or just grinding throughout the day, Dubby has got your back. Try it now and taste the difference. Use code Beyond the Yard at checkout for 10% off of your order. That again, that's W.GG code Beyond the Yard for 10% off. Listen, they got some new flavors. I got an email the other day from them. They got a s'mores flavored energy drink mix.
I the first I've ever heard of that. I'm not sure how that's going to taste, but I'm willing to try it.
Yeah, I think I'm going to probably get some. I've been drinking a lot of water recently and trying to stop drinking so much caffeinated beverages. So mix it in with your water and get you some energy while you're just sipping through the day there. That's W.GG code Beyond the Yard at checkout. You can get 10% off. It's time to play Guess That Wrestler. It's been a couple weeks since we've done this, so I hope you're ready. You're what are you? 3-0, 2-0 in this
2-0. And I will say that stay tuned for next week because I think W is launching a new or a updated flavor.
Ooh,
that may or may not be correlated to your boy right here. I don't want to spoil anything. I don't even know for sure, but I saw something and it had me excited. So I may share that next week.
Perfect.
Give a little bit of time, a little bit of,
we got to build the hype here. We got to build the hype,
build the hype. But yes, continue though.
All right, here we go. We're at Guess That Wrestler. And I gave you a very easy one week one with the Miz and you got it in like 46 seconds. I gave you one the second week that it took you about 4.5 minutes of the 5 minutes to get it, but you got it. I hope I stump you on this one. There's not a whole lot to give you, so I'm going to give you very basic information to start, and then I'll give you 5 minutes because I feel like if I give you some of like the pertinent information, you'll probably get it pretty quickly. But I'm gonna try and for the video, for the plot, push this out a little bit. All right, so this wrestler is billed from Dublin, Ireland, but he's not Irish. He's billed from Dublin, Ireland, but he's not Irish. And he started his career in 2003 for the promotion NWA. You ready, my friend, for your 5 minutes?
Sure. Let's try it.
All right. Your 5 minutes begins now.
I imagine this wrestler is still currently performing.
He is no longer an active wrestler, but he is an ambassador for a current company. Yes.
Okay.
And I guess I gave you another hint there. It is a male, not a female.
Gotcha. Does this wrestler come from a military background?
I don't think so.
Okay. The reason why I asked, because of the whole Ireland, but not Irish type of thing. How many guesses do I get again? I always get confused with this.
You get three guesses, and we'll kind of change it. You can ask certain questions. So I'll give you like 20 questions you can ask. I think you've asked it like two now. So just, yeah.
For whatever reason, I'm already going to throw off a guess. It's probably wrong, but I just want to see where we're at. Is it Jason Jordan?
It's not Jason Jordan.
Okay. Is this an ambassador for WWE?
Yes.
Okay. He started wrestling in 2003, correct?
Correct.
And was the NWA the biggest promotion he was in, or was he in TNA or WWE?
So he wrestled in WWE, TNA, and Shakara.
Okay. Let's see. This could be cheating, but I mean, if it's not even correct, then you could just tell me he was not a part of this at all. Was he part of the for whatever reason, the whole thing just was he a part of the Authority storyline in some capacity?
No.
Okay. I gave it away. That helped me a little bit there. Was he ever in ROH?
No.
Okay. All right. Because I'm not trying to cheat, and I saw the chat, and I'm like, oh, that's a good guess that DJ just had there. So I was like, huh, maybe that's the answer there, and that's why I had to throw that one out there. So, okay.
2 minutes.
All right. Is this guy just overall backstage guy, or is he like
I don't think he has anything to do with the product on screen. I think he's just an ambassador. I'll give you some more info. 2 minutes left on the clock. His only WWE accomplishment is he is a one-time WWE Cruiserweight Champion. He has some pretty cool finishers, but I think if I gave you the names of the finishers, you'll probably get it. So I'll wait till the end there. But a cruiserweight champion in WWE. He's 142 pounds. Has gone by names such as Little Bastard and Mini Gator.
Hornswoggle?
It is Hornswoggle.
The second one, I'll be 100% honest with you. I was like, I have no idea who the hell that is. And I promise you, I did not look at the chat whatsoever. After I looked at Danielson and I said I cheated, I went away from the chat because that obviously gave it away that I was cheating. So the Little Bastards is what peaked in my mind. Whenever they had that McMahon storyline of who is the illegitimate son. And obviously, illegitimate son is code name for bastard. And that was Hornswoggle, where everybody thought it was Triple H and it wasn't. And yeah, that was 2007/2008 Raw was, it was a great. Wild time.
Wasn't it great? I love his finisher moves. The sweet shin music and the tadpole splash instead of the frog splash. Well, you're 3-0. I don't know if I'm ever going to stump you, but that was fun. Let's transition in. Can you give me the word on the street? Is you know a lot about StubHub? Can you let us in on your knowledge of StubHub for me, my friend?
Yes. I think my headphones died, so I did not hear you for quite a bit there. I'm back now, so hopefully if it starts like echoing on your end, let me know and I'll figure it out. But yes. So anyways, back to our friends with StubHub. Kind of a lot of exciting things going on in the sports world today. Obviously, the MLB is in full swing. You got your NASCAR action, IndyCar action, the UFL starting to get to their playoff season. You've got the WNBA back. You've got the NBA playoffs happening. The Thunder advancing to the finals last night. And the Pacers are looking to do the same. And then you've also got the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs are continuing. The Florida Panthers punched their ticket to the Stanley Cup Finals for the third straight year last night, which is pretty crazy. The last 5 or 6 years representing the Eastern Conference has been a team in Florida. That's pretty wild. And then obviously the Oilers are looking to punch their ticket. So a lot of stuff going on. And of course, you got your sports and entertainment things. Concerts about to be in full swing with the weather warming up. Musicals and Broadway.
Oh, think we lost him there. Give me 1 second. Yeah. Okay.
What's going on?
There we go.
What happened?
I have no idea. You just disappeared.
I was talking, and then all of a sudden, you said, okay, and I went away. I don't know what happened. That'd be the longest read in the world, but I'll try to get through it again. So if you guys are looking to score tickets at hot events in town, StubHub's got you covered. Concerts, sporting events, must-see Broadway show. StubHub is your one-stop shop for live entertainment and live event tickets. With millions of listings, you can easily find the best seats at the best prices. Plus, with StubHub's 100% buyer guarantee, you can shop with confidence knowing your tickets are legit and ready for you to enjoy the experience. So why wait? Don't miss out on the action. Visit StubHub today and get your tickets to unforgettable moments. StubHub, the world's largest ticket marketplace. Of course, you guys can use that link in the description for all your sporting and live event entertainment needs. StubHub, again, the world's largest ticket marketplace. Appreciate StubHub for being an affiliate partner of the Beyond the Junkyard podcast.
Absolutely. And now we transition into our favorite segment of the night. That is the mid-card meltdown. I got a spicy take that I'm going to give for y'all. But being the host, I'm going to let my co-host lead the way on his mid-card meltdown moment. My friend, anything bothering you this week?
So I have a question. Does it have to be wrestling related or can it be anything related? I know it's a wrestling themed podcast, but I'm just asking.
I would prefer it to be wrestling, but if you have a outside topic, then we can entertain it for a minute.
I'll entertain it for just 2 seconds because this really grinds my gears. This is souring my sauce. Why can't the Washington Commanders go back to the Redskins? We know it's a racist term, apparently, and that we shouldn't go back to it, and sponsors will threaten to pull out. Yet all sorts of commentators, journalists from both left side, right side, in the middle, they still say the word Redskins. Well, the former Redskins team name or the former Redskins, they can say it. They can type it in their articles, but yet we can't go back to it. So if it's almost as if we're saying it more now than we did beforehand. I hate it. I don't love the name Commanders, but I don't hate it. Do I wish we were the Redskins? Yes. I just think that it's weird that we say we can't use it as the name of the team, but yet so many commentators, journalists, media outlet personnel still say the word Redskins, even more so today than they ever have. So that grinds my gears. I do have a wrestling one, though. Why is it that anytime AEW sold a fourth of an arena, if it was a 17, 18,000 seat arena, they sold 2,500 tickets or 3,000 tickets. Obviously, they're set up for a third or a quarter of the arena, and the rest of it's empty. Why does AEW get so much shit talking about that? But TNA does it, and we don't bat an eye, especially with this newfound partnership with WWE. Just curious. I mean, Slammiversary is a couple weeks away. They've got a quarter of the arena set up. They may sell the allotment of the tickets that are set up, which is 2,600, I believe. Again, 16, 17,000 seat arena, they're going to sell a quarter of it. That's fine. But if AEW does it, world's coming to an end. Doesn't look good. It's bad. Hard cam empty. Hard cam's always empty if you're going to that kind of arena with only selling that kind of tickets. So I expect to see a bunch of non-hard cam sided pictures posted for Slammiversary. I think TNA is having either Against All Odds or an Impact taping at the Mullet Arena on the campus of Arizona State University. The former Arizona Coyotes played there for a couple of years. Now the Sun Devils men's hockey team plays there as well. I think the women's do too. They have absolutely shit the tank when it came to that specific show. Here we go. So it's a Against All Odds and an Impact taping Friday, June the 6th. So next Friday, this was posted today, by the way. This was an update today by Russell Tix. Great $2 on Patreon, by the way. the setup is for 2,233 tickets, which looking at the map is a third of this 4,500 seat arena, or a quarter of it, I guess, if you want to call it that. It's a quarter of it. So they sold 1,000 tickets. With 9 days left to go on the map, there are 1,143 available tickets for a show that's happening in 9 days. So as of the moment, they have more tickets available than they've sold at a 4,500 seat arena. And yet I don't see any mention of that on social media. But if God forbid somebody showed a thing of Dynamite for 4 months from now and it's only got 1,000 tickets sold, that's all over the place. I think it's ridiculous. Yes, I do think that AEW is a number two promotion. So, yeah, they should get some slack for that for sure. But TNA at one point used to be the same way. And now they have a partnership with WWE and they just had their TNA World Champion switch hands on a live NXT taping in front of millions of people. So I think that that argument now is gone. I don't want to say TNA is a two or three because I think that being a partnership with WWE, now you're WWE. They're going to be bought out by WWE. It's practically a WWE branded show now. It's no longer a TNA branded show. You can say whatever you want, but the fact that you have a partnership now with the Fed, they're calling the shots, not you. The fact that they had a title change on WWE television proves that. So I think that the blasphemy for not caring about a TNA show that has WWE backing now, but criticizing an AEW show that may not be selling well ticket wise, ridiculous, in my opinion. That's my mid-card meltdown.
You make some really good points. You make some really good points there. I've already seen several people now talk about how the Triple R show the weekend of World's End has outsold Double or Nothing, even though it's a WWE branded show too. So you make some good points. My mid-card meltdown this week, well, I really don't have anything that has irritated me, and looks like we lost him again, so technical difficulties on his end, it seems. But I'll continue with my as we get him back here. What's going on your side, my friend? Anyways, my mid-card meltdown, I'm going to use this as a chance for me to just give a prediction about how I see a certain storyline playing out. And that is July 12th, 2025, Globe Life Arena or Stadium in Texas. All in Texas. Hangman Page comes in as the challenger. Comes in as the challenger for the AEW World Championship. But I don't think it's Jon Moxley. He's going to be fighting. You look at this story, and everyone seems to think the story is going to be Swerve and Ospreay are going to help Hangman beat Moxley to take the belt. I don't see it that way. I think AEW has had a plan for the whole entire time to have Mercedes Moné and Swerve Strickland be the centerpieces coming into All In Weekend. They've done the most promotion for the show. They were there live when they announced tickets were on sale about 6 months ago. I think because next week on Dynamite, we got a 4-hour show. The week after Dynamite, we got a 4-hour show. I think AEW is going to make the move on one of those 4-hour shows that Jon Moxley is going to defend his championship. Who won Anarchy in the Arena? Who made the pin? It was Swerve Strickland made the pin. He won the match. I think he gets a title opportunity. I think Swerve Strickland is so full of anger, and he doesn't want Hangman to get the belt before him. And we're going to get, and I'm willing to bet it'll be not this coming week, but the 11th in Portland, Oregon. We will get Swerve Strickland winning on Dynamite. Summer Blockbuster, he will win the AEW championship. And then they get a full month to push Hangman versus Swerve at AEW All In Texas. My prediction is Swerve and Hangman will be your main event of All In Texas. And you can bookmark this. You can clip this quote. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And I'll say I'm wrong. But I think this was the direction they've always wanted to go. It was never Ospreay. It was never Darby. It was always meant to be Hangman versus Swerve 4 at AEW All In Texas. That's my mid-card meltdown moment. Your video feed has disappeared, my friend. I'm not sure. Are you good? Oh, no. All right. Well, while we see what's going on with him, he has disappeared once again. I will shoot one more promotional piece before we move into the next segment here. I got to thank our friends at WWE Shop. They are an affiliate partner for us as well. And so WWE Shop is the place for you to unleash your inner superstar from the electrifying moments that we see at WrestleMania. Well, except this year. There were no electrifying moments at WrestleMania this year. But you get what I'm saying. To the hard-hitting battles of Monday Night Raw and Friday Night SmackDown, WWE Shop has the gear to match your passion. Snag authentic tees, hats, and championship belts. Bring that WWE universe right into your wardrobe. Go to the link below in the description box today and suit up to cheer on your favorite superstars, whether that's Cody Rhodes, Jey Uso, John Cena, Ron Cena. WWE Shop has it for you because every fan deserves to feel like a champion. And we were moving into one of our segments here. We were going to talk about AEW and WWE and WWE's, what shall I call it, incessant needs to counterbook AEW. WWE seems to have to always counterbook head-to-head against AEW at all of their big shows. And so we're going to have that conversation there and just a moment. I'm going to see real quick. This is the beauty of live programming. Trying to get him back in here so we can have that conversation. There he is. Okay. I got him back. I don't know what was going on, my friend, but how are you doing?
The computer took an absolute dog shit, so I guess we're going to have to suffice for using the cellular device until my computer decides to break, or I break it myself, or
technology.
I don't know.
Technology is great, ain't it? No worries. We're moving on then to our next segment. So obviously you've seen it, I've seen it, and Tony Khan has seen it. WWE has this incessant need to counterbook AEW, and Tony Khan gave his thoughts. I want you to hear this clip, and then we're going to briefly talk about Is this a efficient and good strategy for WWE moving forward?
Mark Hoke, 101.5 FM, Las Vegas. How are you feeling about other companies scheduling events on top of and around yours on a consistent basis?
It's pretty consistent. I'd say it's the most consistent event head-to-head scheduling I've seen since Jim Crockett Promotions. Saw a lot of scheduling that went that way. And I can tell you this will go a lot differently than that did, Mark. Thank you for asking. I appreciate you all.
It seems like we lost him again, but I'm going to...
All right, we're good. Now we're good. Now we're good.
Beautiful. We are beautiful. All right, so you listen to that quote. Tony Khan seems to be, I think, understanding that he's going to get booked head-to-head against NXT and WWE, but let's name some future events that are going to happen. So AEW is running All In Weekend, and they announced All In to be a nighttime Saturday night pay-per-view, and then WWE decides, you know what, we're going to throw a Saturday night main event to go head-to-head against them. Well, AEW says, we don't want to run head-to-head against you. We would prefer not to, you know, shatter your viewership and our viewership, and we'll just comply, and we'll move AEW All In Texas to the afternoon. We'll solve the issue. We'll get it done before your show. That's not good enough, apparently, for WWE, because not only are they running Saturday night's main event, they decided that Sunday to run a pay-per-view called Evolution, I believe. That's the all-women's pay-per-view that'll run that Sunday. But also, before Saturday night main event, now competing head-to-head against AEW's All In, they're running NXT Great American Bash. And if that wasn't enough, they decided to, you know, AEW announced several weeks ago that they had gotten a 7-week booked in a row, 7 straight weeks at 2300 Arena in Philadelphia to produce AEW content, the residency there. Well, the week before that starts, this was announced today, NXT is just magically out of the blue running 2300 Arena in Philadelphia. It's wild because they tried to run an NXT taping on Tuesday and it didn't sell a lot of tickets, so they had to cancel the shit. So my question is, not necessarily is it good or bad for them to do it? I think at this point now, we expect WWE to run head-to-head against NXT, and that is with AEW. I think that is within their right. They are allowed to run head-to-head against AEW. I'm not mad about it. My question, though, is this an effective strategy for WWE? Because it seems to me, especially when AEW is putting on top tier pay-per-views and you come out and you put on just absolute garbage like we saw this past weekend at Saturday night's main event in Tampa, they put on absolute garbage on Saturday night. NXT was a decent show, but WWE's programming hasn't been great. Is it smart for them to run head-to-head against AEW, and you have fans that see that AEW does really good on pay-per-views and WWE's not doing great shows? Like, to me, it's like, one, you're ruining your opportunity to have that night to yourself, because there are AEW fans that would watch a Saturday night's main event, but they're not going to watch a Saturday night's main event head-to-head when AEW is on.
Yeah, so couple points real quick. Some of the comments from one Mr. Randall Bitley are incorrect. The hometown of the Great American Bash was not Atlanta. It's Charlotte. That's the first one that took place in 85 was in Charlotte. At least from the first one, if you really want to be technical, its hometown was in Baltimore, Maryland, where WCW had the Bash from, I think, 97. No, 97 was in Mississippi, but 98 to 2000 was in Maryland. And then WWE had it from wherever. But anyways, I digress. And Battleground was not the best event of the weekend. It was easily Double or Nothing, 100%. I think that it's Triple H and whoever else is booking these dates and arenas. They're being petty. They're wanting to monopolize the wrestling industry. They're wanting to kill their competition. I think if you're afraid of that, if you're afraid of competition, that's a you problem. 100%. AEW is not trying to compete with WWE as far as that goes. They're purposely not trying to book things on the same weekend. The Wednesday Night Wars was saying that, you know, AEW had planned to be on Wednesdays and then magically NXT switched to Wednesdays. And, you know, I don't understand why they have to be, why they have to go that low. AEW is not trying to go up against them. They're not having competition on Monday or Friday nights. They're not going to do it because obviously they know they're going to get blown out of the water. AEW is trying to create its own little niche, its own demographic, and doing what it does for that demographic. Not trying to compete with WWE on that kind of level. And WWE is stooping down to their level and saying, well, you know, we feel like we need to take over the 2300 arena. Well, we need to take over their biggest weekend of the year because we need to make sure that they understand that we're the best, the biggest promotion in America and in the world. We know that. We already know that. There's no need to be doing that. The fact that, you know, the WWE didn't even do this kind of petty booking when it was an intense competition with WCW on a weekly basis. You go back and look at the calendars, there was very rare times that WCW and WWE were directly competing besides Monday nights on pay-per-view nights, which back then was a much bigger deal because there wasn't streaming. There wasn't, hey, you can have a streaming service like Peacock and watch your pay-per-views on or Netflix. Where in AEW's case, you know, you had to buy $30, $40 pay-per-views every single month. And that was where the biggest, you know, one of the bigger cash cows were for the industry at the time was those. Yes, they competed head-to-head every single week on Monday nights and then later starting in 98 on Thursday nights. Really 99 because Thunder came first in 98 and then SmackDown came in the summer of 99. So then they competed on Thursday nights and then Wednesday nights. But they purposely wouldn't book pay-per-view weekends because they both needed the money to do it. And I guess WWE, because of their streaming deals, they're like, we don't care. We want to kill their pay-per-view industry and people have to buy the pay-per-views there. I'm hoping that we get an announcement that Max, this will be the first pay-per-view on Max, is All In. Be great if we had that announcement sooner than later, but it's just petty booking. That's all it is. And when you saturate a market so much like they did with Tampa and had to literally cancel an NXT show because A, your prices are ridiculous, but B, you're just killing the market that you're in, it looks bad on you. And AEW already had these shows announced, so you going down to their level and booking things before them, or in the case of Saturday Night's Main Event and Evolution the same weekend as All In, makes them look bad, my opinion. AEW is purposely not trying to do that, and they are. So it shows in my mind that they need to stoop down to that level to prove their superiority versus just do what you do. And this is not an opportunity for Tony Khan to say, hey, listen, we didn't book it on their weekend. They did it for me. They're being petty. I don't want WWE to do that. Excuse me. I don't want Tony Khan and AEW to do that. They just need to keep focusing on what they're doing. Keep their head down. Keep writing. Keep doing producing. Keep doing these storylines. Just focus on your product. You don't need to do the hate tweets. You don't need to do the sly, smarky comments. The talent doesn't even need to do it. But just keep doing what they've been doing over the past 6 months, which has been some of the best TV that AEW has produced, with countering the fact that WWE is kind of in a lull creatively, in my opinion, right now. I just don't think it's great product. it's a good time for AEW just to capitalize on the, I'm not saying WWE has bad ticket sales, they don't, but I just feel like the product isn't doing really well right now. And this is just a great opportunity for AEW to counter that and show, hey, we can do this thing too, and we're pretty good at it.
Yeah, so my reasoning as to why this is just pure petty bullshit is because there's no way in the world that Shawn Michaels or Triple H or whoever is, you know, scheduling these shows can look us in the face. Oh, good.
I really don't like doing that. I really don't. But can I intervene real quick and bring up that last comment from Randall? When we watch China's main event and against NXT, okay, so clearly you don't keep up with things, because while it is ratings and we can't truly be, hey, it's totally legit, it's totally real because it's the Nielsen ratings. If you want to go by that, those, this past Saturday for Saturday Night's main event, May 24th, best drawing Saturday Night's main event since it started. Back. Beat December 14th, beat January 25th, had almost 2 million viewers. It was P2 in the viewership, had a 54 P18 to 49 rating. It's the best rating they've had for Saturday Night's main event in a long time. Don't tell me nobody watches it, because clearly people watched it on Saturday night. So that's already got out the window. But go ahead, continue with the point. I'll try to shut up.
No, you're good. So my point is obviously it's just them being petty, because there's no way whoever's scheduling these shows can look us in the face and legitimately think that they can put up a show with I don't know, JC Jane as your women's champion and Oba Femi as your world champion, and that they're, it's go, the people who watch both NXT and AEW would choose to watch JC Jane defend the AEW or NXT women's champion and Oba Femi defend the men's championship over Hangman Page versus Moxley, over Mercedes Moné and Toni Storm, over the potential Kenny Omega versus Okada match, over whatever matches come up. There's no way they can look us in the face and say, yeah, we're going to get those AEW fans to stop watching AEW on the biggest pay-per-view of their year. So you know this is them being petty. And so to me, what benefit does this do for you? Because you're not gaining an audience. And quite honestly, you're probably going to get people to watch the NXT show the day after the it airs, because they're going to watch the AEW show. So it doesn't, you're not going to sell a shit ton of tickets for the show. It's in Atlanta. It's in some ballroom or some small event center in Atlanta. And then Evolution is going to be run, and I'll mention this here. They booked Evolution to go head to head against Beyonce in Atlanta. Like, Beyonce is performing at the Falcons Arena, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, the same time as Evolution. So you're booking an all women's pay-per-view, but you're putting them up against Beyonce in the city. Like, nobody's going to go watch that. They're going to all watch Beyonce. So this is just them being petty, and to say that we can do whatever the fuck we want to do because we're the big dogs, and that they're trying. I think this is them trying to try to put fear in AEW, because they know AEW, at least in pay-per-view, is putting on better quality product. And even Dave Meltzer says, at this point, and Dave Meltzer has been very hard on Tony Khan's booking here recently, that Tony Khan is Booker of the Year as it stands through the first 5 months of the year. And so it's petty. It's WWE saying that we're number one and nobody gives a shit. what we do. We're going to do whatever the fuck we want. I saw a comment. I don't know. It like disappeared on me for whatever reason. Funny name, Mike Oxlong. I get the joke, saying something about if AEW and WWE got rid of women's wrestling, viewership would go up by 10%. And at least on the AEW side, I can prove to you that that would be wrong, because this past week, the numbers came out and Mercedes Moné and Toni Storm had the second highest rated 15-minute block on all of AEW. No, women's wrestling, people actually care about women's wrestling and AEW. So that doesn't mean anything as well. But let's jump in to our main topic, because I was planning on Monday. So Monday was Memorial Day. I had the day off. I was planning on giving my review of Double or Nothing Monday, but I thought, no, I wanted to do this with my man, Cody Marinara. And let's talk about the highs of AEW's Double or Nothing. First off, for all of the pre-show drama and Twitter stuff about how this was the worst booked show in AEW history, they really executed really well. Oh, at least I think they did. They executed damn near perfectly AEW Double or Nothing. There were some matches that probably didn't need to be on the card. I think we could agree on that. There were probably some matches that, like, I would have probably put the six-man trios match between Paragon and Don Callis Family on the buy-in, and put the Anna Jay tag team match on the main show. But overall, like, they gave us solid matches. Every single match was really good. Just before we get into some other main points, your overall consensus on the show.
I thought it was good. I legitimately I liked it from top to bottom. I don't know if it was the best show they've ever had. And of course, he'll say that. But I think it was in the top five of their all-time shows. I think they've done a great job, like I said, with the overall storytelling and the writing over the last 6-7 months, and the production side of it as well was fantastic, top to bottom. Some Easter eggs in there that I didn't really catch that you pointed out in our group chat, and a couple other things I saw on social media that I was like, man, that just elevated their stuff to a whole other level that I really enjoyed. And I thought for the most part, the matches were pretty good. Wasn't perfect on my predictions, which I was a little upset about, but it's okay. I thoroughly enjoyed the show, and I thought it did a really, really, really good job. It was fun. Crowd was involved. Crowd was loud. And I didn't care if it was 4 hours long, because I thought I enjoyed it from top to bottom. So those 4 hours flew by pretty quickly.
Yeah, no, everyone likes to complain that AEW pay-per-views are like astronomically long, but they're 4, maybe 4.5 hours long. That's like before WWE went to Peacock, they had 4-hour pay-per-views as well. And so, again, the only people complaining about the length of the shows are the people that, you know, spend $500 to sit nosebleed to watch Travis Scott punch Cody Rhodes in the face. You get a 3-hour pay-per-view when half of it is not even wrestling. Like, so they gave us 4 hours. They gave the fans more than what their tickets were worth. For 4.5 hours, they gave them really solid in-ring work. My biggest takeaway from this was there were no debuts. Tekla didn't come out until Wednesday. We didn't get Mariah May coming back. Eddie Kingston didn't show up. I mean, we got Hook, but for half a second. There were really no returns or debuts on this show, but they didn't need them. They didn't have to use that shock and awe factor of like a new person coming out, like you know, some shows need. They didn't need it for this show. It was just top to bottom really good. I guess my first question I would ask to you is, what was your favorite match of the night?
Favorite match has to be Ospreay versus Hangman. The most fun match I thought was Anarchy in the Arena. I thought it was just wild. And it was really, really just crazy, but I enjoyed the hell out of it. The Women's Owen Hart match between Mercedes and Jamie Hayter was really, really good. Tony and Mina did a really good job as well. And I knew for sure that Anarchy in the Arena was not going to be the co-main, because when you have that kind of a big match, it's going to suck the energy out of a crowd. It's going to have to go second or third to last. Right. And of course, whoever follows that has the shitty job of just trying to get through their match and entertain the crowd still while we kind of let them get their energy back for the main event. I thought that Paragon versus Don Callis family did that. They did a good job, and crowd was super into Ospreay and Hangman. So I thought that just the booking of the card was really, really done, really well done. And I know you asked me one question. I just gave you a 2-minute answer, but
you're good.
Yeah, that's what I would say.
I've had a hard time thinking of a favorite match, like from an in-ring perspective, because it's down to that Hangman Ospreay match. If you haven't watched it, it is 40 some odd minutes of almost perfection. Ospreay and Hangman are so good together in the ring. But I think my favorite match was Mercedes Moné and Jamie Hayter. Just simply because it proves again that Mercedes Moné, I think, is the greatest women's wrestler, at least of this generation, but I'm willing to say of all time. Every match that she's had from Double or Nothing 2024, when she made her in-ring debut, to Double or Nothing 2025 has been absolutely spectacular. Every person that she's wrestled has had their best match of their career against her. And I'm willing to say that Jamie Hayter and her had their best match. She had her best match against Mercedes Moné on Sunday. It was just so good. And then there were several moments when the crowd was super into it. Obviously, it opened the show, where the crowd was overwhelmingly in support of Jamie Hayter. And then the way it ended with that quick, like, heelish roll-up win, it was just perfect. I didn't think Mercedes Moné would win this match. In fact, I think I started this pay-per-view like 0-3. Like, I was terrible starting at my predictions of this show. But I agree with you. The most entertaining match of the night was Anarchy in the Arena. And so we'll jump to Anarchy in the Arena, and let's talk about it. We got the Young Bucks dressing up like Alexander Hamilton and George Washington. That was absolutely fucking hilarious.
Yeah, and that was great.
They start the match, and the freaking 1776 military drum beat just started playing on a loop for like 10 minutes straight. And it's like, are we really going to have a wrestling match to this? Like, it was so hard to pay attention to what was going on because the music was so funny. Like, I couldn't stop laughing. And I watched, Denise Salcedo's live watch along, Monday. And when it got, and I scrolled to that piece, cause I wanted to see her reaction, and she had the same reaction that I did. I'm like, what the hell is going on? Why is this? And then the Pointer Sisters play for a minute. That was awkward. And then when they played Drowning Pool Bodies, that crowd, I would have paid $1 million to be in that crowd live. Like, they lost their ever living fucking mind. And by the way, I know it was, what, 7 o'clock at their time, because it was like 10 o'clock our time. they had already been there for 3 hours.
3 hours, yeah.
So the crowd should not have been as hype as they were, and they played that song on repeat, I think, 5 times.
And then it had to be longer than that. It felt like it was going on for 40, 30 minutes, but after about the fifth loop of it, I'm like, all right, we can either turn it off or we got to end this match, because I love Bodies and Johnny Pulse a good band, but getting a little tired of hearing that song over and over and over again. But yeah, no, that was awesome. That crowd reaction for that was really good. And obviously the insane spots were expected, but just crazy, but really, really good. I thought it was just absolutely hands down, just a cluster of entertainment, but in a good way. Quick side note, though, I will say that probably one of the underrated matches that were actually really good, in my opinion, was that stretcher match between Briscoe and Ricochet. Was not expecting that match to be really that good. I knew Briscoe was probably going to do a bunch of stuff to try to get the match over. Ricochet did a great job, too, and I thought that that match came out to be a lot more entertaining than I was expecting it to be. I actually really enjoyed that match, to be honest with you.
You're going to have to rank this show, and like, there's going to have to be a worst match of the show. I'm willing to go on the limb and say the worst match of Double or Nothing. You could probably say it was maybe the Paragon match because of just the placement on the card. It was actually a pretty decent match. Or maybe the tag team match, Dustin and Sammy against the Hurt Syndicate. It was still better than anything WWE put out this past weekend. And so that's just the thing, is the worst match on the AEW card is a B-minus match. Like, I think they will take that. And I haven't seen Meltzer's ratings yet to see what he's giving. I'm willing to bet he gives that stretcher match a 4 or 5 star, because it was really well put together, and good use of the scissors and the Sabu tribute and all of that mess. It was great. And then Ricochet finally wins on a pay-per-view, so they accomplished something there. But it was cool to just see, like, they bring the ambulance back at some point and Briscoe's just still covered in blood, like he never fucking left.
That was great.
But Anarchy in the Arena, I think it needs to be an annual thing, like every year.
It has to be, yeah.
And it has to, like, and the thing is you have to be even crazier next year to beat what they did this year. Because if you put on something worse than this year's Double or Nothing, or Anarchy in the Arena, then people might start saying that it needs to go. But I love it. I think it needs to be an annual thing for Double or Nothing, that you have an Anarchy in the Arena match. It was just so fun. And it was for the sickos. It was for the people that AEW was built for, the hardcore fan. I truly lost my appetite seeing the padlock through the earlobe of Willow Nightingale. That was disgusting. Marina Shafir telling Kenny Omega to give her a German. She was like, do it, pussy. Like, great stuff. Like, they're stretching the boundaries of like intergender wrestling, but they weren't doing it. Like, obviously Kenny didn't want to do it because he's the face, but he was kind of like peer pressured into doing it. It was great. And they didn't overdo the intergender stuff, but they had just enough of it to tell a really good story. And even though it was a chaotic clusterfuck of a match, there was still some storylines being produced. Hook comes back, beats the ever living shit out of Claudio, but kind of like shoves off Samoa Joe's hug attempt. I wish they would have built on that last night on Dynamite. They didn't. I don't know why, but so there's some drama there with the ops, and there were still some storylines being told. And overall, like, it was great. And then Swerve, like I said, gets the pin, which I don't know if you heard, or if you were having your technical difficulties when I said this earlier in the show, I don't think Moxley walks into All In as champion. I truly don't. I think Swerve walks in as champion. And they're in Portland in 2 weeks on Dynamite, 4-hour show. They have Kenny Omega defending. I think that'll be the main event next week in Denver. It would not surpass me if a Swerve, out of jealousy that Hangman gets a title shot, tries to one-up him and beats Moxley, and then we get Swerve and Hangman at All In. Because, one, he got the pin, and two, Mercedes Moné is fighting for the women's belt, and her and Swerve have been the main people promoting this show, All In, ever since day one when they announced the show, announced tickets were on sale. Mercedes and Swerve were there promoting the show. I think Swerve was champion at the time, AEW champion at the time. I think we don't like to see the world title move on free TV. We're not NXT where we give the women's championship away on free TV. But I think it's a 4-hour show. It's essentially a mini pay-per-view. So I think that could happen. And if I'm wrong, I'll come out here and say I was wrong. But I think the stories are progressing really well leading into, we're now 44 days away.
No, I don't think we're going to see a world title change happen like that on a Dynamite, especially with it being such a big deal that Moxley and the Death Riders have such a grip on the world title scene. That's setting up for your biggest moment on your biggest pay-per-view at All In, where Hangman possibly wins it back from him. I'm starting to see a picture where maybe Hangman doesn't win, and then maybe they wait until Forbidden Door and Ospreay wins it. A little murky with how they're going to look at that going, but I'm interested and intrigued to see what's going to happen with it. I think if you're going to have to, if you're going to have it happen, and it's either going to be obviously at All In or Forbidden Door, I could see Ospreay kind of doing a tag team match with Swerve against maybe Claudio and Yuta at All In, try to get the Death Riders beat up and not cause more problems with them. Maybe that's something that could happen. I don't know. We'll kind of wait and see what the match layout looks for that. But I think ultimately it's going to be Swerve and Ospreay helping Hangman win the title for the greater good of the company. And then maybe Swerve gets that first rematch at All Out or Forbidden Door, 1-2 for the world title. I don't think it'll happen at Summer Blockbuster. It's going to be very interesting to see how they're going to do that show with it being 4 hours long. But definitely going to have a pay-per-view type card for sure. Like you said, 44 days from All In. Obviously, the juice is going to get turned up quite a bit. Sauce is going to thicken a little bit more. The plots are going to deepen as we get into June and obviously early July until we get to that pay-per-view.
Yeah. I'm interested to see what they do, because obviously we got Omega in the four-way match. I wonder if Omega loses his title next week. Okada costs him the match or something. To me, they're building for, I think this could help build for like Grand Slam Mexico, like Hechicero or one of the luchadors could run that international belt, and then you can open up Kenny to fight for the Continental belt at All In. It'll be interesting to see. Who won last night? I can't remember to advance.
Brody King.
That's right. Brody won. So cool to see Brody get a championship match. I wouldn't hate it if he won the belt, but it'll be interesting. We didn't get a whole lot of like story progression. Word on the street is, if AEW had an injury report like NFL teams do, it would have been like three pages long after Double or Nothing. several people were not able to fight. And you know this is the case because the frat house showed up on AEW television and they somehow stayed past their ROH 5 seconds on ROH taping to be on the live show, to get absolutely demolished by the ops. But there's a lot of injured people. I know both of the Young Bucks are injured. So they're not severe enough injuries to be like out for months, but some of them weren't clear to be on the show yesterday. So I think as we're moving into next week, we'll see a fuller card. I guess my question is, we saw the debut, and this will be the last thing we talk about real quick, and then we'll close the show. Saw the debut of Tekla last night on Dynamite. It was a quick, it reminded me of a WWE debut, something quick, led you to a commercial. I thought this was great. A lot of people were saying that they buried Jamie Hayter with this. I don't think so, because Jamie Hayter had nothing going for her. She had lost the Owen Hart tournament, so she didn't have a feud set up going into All In. Jamie Hayter versus Tekla at All In would be a nice match, or even beforehand. I think that's what they're building for, is Jamie Hayter versus Tekla or something around that. I think it's beautiful. And yes, there's an H in the name, but it's silent. If you listen to the commentary, they pronounced it Tekla last night. It's Tekla, not Fekla. I think this either leads to a singles match at All In, or they're doing like a women's gauntlet, whatever they call that gauntlet match that Will Ospreay always wins. Casino gauntlet match, I think is what they call it. So I think they're doing something like that, and that'll help kind of set up this women's feud. And then hopefully Harley Cameron and Anna Jay are fine. They both busted their noses open in the no DQ tag match. But overall, initial first time look at Tekla and AEW. I'm not sure if you know anything about her, but
very little. Watch a couple of her stuff on for Stardom, just brief little highlight clips. And interesting gimmick, and the whole spider thing is interesting. I don't know if Jamie versus her is happening at All In, just because it's still 44 days away and it's just kind of a one-on-one grudge match type of thing. It's kind of hard to build that up for another 6 weeks, 5 weeks, for just a one-on-one match like that. It could happen. I could see that them having a match a couple weeks. Maybe Jamie gets a loss, and we kind of build that story of her kind of like, man, what's going on with her? What's in it for her? And then maybe they win, so they have some sort of gauntlet at All In, and the winner faces off against the TBS champion or the world champion at Forbidden Door, and we get Jamie winning it. And then it'd be Jamie versus, if Tony wins, Jamie versus Tony, New Zealander, versus the home country girl of England with Jamie, and Jamie wins the belt there, or Jamie versus Monet. I think that'd be cool either way. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see kind of where Tekla goes from, obviously, her first feud's going to be with Jamie, where she goes from there, how that whole thing pops up. But I'm very interested to see what happens there. Sometimes, you know, you don't need the promos to just all of a sudden do that. Sometimes the initial shock of the debut is warranted.
Well, to jump in real quick to answer this question, we had a month of Wyatt Six-esque spiders running across the screen. So like people knew she was coming. The reason I said many people may not know her is this is her first appearance in American television. She's well known in Japan, but this is her first appearance on American television. And I love, and I bet Jeff Cobb wished that he could have this luxury, that they continued the story on why she got fired from Stardom into AEW, whereas Jeff Cobb just kind of showed up and they didn't really explain why the fuck he was
there. Jeff Cobb just kind of showed up. Didn't Stephanie Valkyr just show up? Or did they give her a promo package?
They gave her a house show in Mexico as her debut.
Okay, so there you go. If I'm not mistaken, Ricky Saint, whatever his name is, he just randomly showed up. I don't think there was a coming soon promo for him. That's not always needed. Sometimes it is, and I understand that. It gets the hype built up, and you're like, who is this person? But if you do the hype, and then you get the person coming out to no reaction, that's almost as worse as them just debuting and being like, oh, okay. It's just one of those things that sometimes it's warranted, sometimes you don't always need it, and I think it was fine last night.
I think they did what they should have. Given the moment,
it creates intrigue, and then you'll start to get to learn about her as the weeks progress.
Right. And AEW has always done this where Tekla debuted last week. Here's a little bit of her Stardom clips. This is a little bit more about, they'll give you the vignette after the debut, not before the debut, because why would you spoil the debut before she even shows up? So that's AEW's mindset is they probably know you're not going to know who she is right away. That's the intrigue of having some mysterious person show up. You're not really supposed to know who she is. And then they're going to give you the backstory in the weeks following up on who she is. But it's easy to figure out who the fuck she is. Use this. Use your phone. Use Google. Use YouTube. You can figure this out. That's, again,
what you get when I saw a great analogy where AEW is like a puzzle, a big complex puzzle. You get a bunch of these little clues and nuances and pieces put together to get to the main point of it. And then once you kind of have all those ingredients come together, then you know how to build a puzzle and it makes sense. It's complex. And that's what makes it different. You don't always need to have that clear cut, cookie cutter type of promo vignette build up to get to who is this person? Why should I care? Instead, just be intrigued by that and be like, okay, well, either let me look up about this person, or damn, she beat up one of the bigger stars in the company. That's got me intrigued. What's going to happen next type of thing.
Right.
When you've been such watered down with product, that's what you get with those type of fans, is they just need to be catered in every single direction and every single thing. Let things be built. Let things have hype. You just said, give me a 2-3 week build. You want build, you want story, but you want it right then and there. You don't want it to be drawn out. I understand that you want to know who this character is, why you should care, and this and that, the backstory. I get it. Give it time. You're not going to learn everything in one day or 1 week or 2 weeks. If you get a coming soon promo 1 week and then next week it's the same thing, that does nothing. It's just, okay, somebody's coming. You give me a little more clue.
Right. Well, how many weeks did we get a Veer Mahan is coming soon promo like several years ago and he just never showed up? Or how many weeks did we get Emelina is coming and she shows up and 3 weeks later she disappears? Like, so those type of promos don't always work because you can only build the hype for so long until people don't care. So just to have them show up, now you build the intrigue. I saw several people who are AEW hardcores and I would say are pretty knowledgeable about the game that don't know anything about Tekla, that says I'm willing to see where this goes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, we don't have the story right now, but that's the point. You don't always, like, she's not a main character right now. So you're only going to get bits and pieces. And to further prove your analogy, look at last night. Swerve brings, so when the Young Bucks come out after Dynasty and said, we helped Moxley win because of our friend Hangman, and then they kind of just left it there and didn't mention it again. Everyone was like, why the fuck did they throw Hangman's name out there? Well, now we figured out why. They brought it. They brought that piece into the story again, and Swerve is still not trusting of Hangman because he doesn't know if Hangman really had his back or not. So this is how they do it. They throw the breadcrumb, and then several months later, you never know, they may bring it back up. And so
that's what makes it different. That's it.
Yep. But that's all I really had today, my friend. Any last comments before we close the show out?
Not really. I think that we're heading into a good point here in the wrestling world, and a few good months coming up leading to the summertime, and should be some pretty good shows happening here. And intrigue is building for some of the bigger shows that are happening over the summer for both promotions, and should be a very fun next few weeks for sure.
Absolutely. I know. I think AEW is chomping at the bit to release the rest of their pay-per-view schedule, but they know if they release it too soon that they'll get six shows going head-to-head against them. So they're trying to hold out as late as possible to announce them. It was reported by, dare I say, Sean Ross Sapp. I don't know. Please don't come watch this video and talk shit about me again, Sean, but I think he was mentioning that there are other events that WWE are planning on running head to head, but I guess we'll see in the future. Can Charlotte get a pay-per-view? I'm asking for, give me full gear, please. I want full gear in
I'll
Charlotte.
Take anything at this point.
We haven't had a show I'll since January. We haven't had a show since January 6th.
That collision two straight years in a row on a Saturday, on a random Saturday with barely any people. Can we get something else, please? Please and thank you.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see the build. I think, so here's what AEW is going to do really well at the next couple of weeks. They're going to build, obviously, for All In, but they're also going to bring in people from New Japan to build towards Forbidden Door.
But also remember, we do have Grand Slam Mexico happening in a few weeks, so they're going to bring in a bunch of the CMLL guys to start building for that as well.
Yep.
January 6th, two years ago, I believe, was a Saturday.
Yeah, so we got January 6th that day, and then I think it was January 4th this year was the day that we...
last couple of years, we had it on that. So
yeah, we always had the first Saturday in January as a Charlotte show. I think that's a tradition, but
for whatever reason, yeah.
Listen, I just want a pay-per-view. Bring us back to Greensboro at the least. It's not the Greensboro Coliseum anymore. It's the First Horizon Bank Coliseum, but Sting's retirement was so popular, they got a name deal off of that match. So
there you go. You're welcome.
I think it'll be fun. We have Forbidden Door is always one of my favorite pay-per-views because it shows how partnerships should work. Whereas instead of having one company kind of dictate what happens in a partnership, you kind of have mutual collaboration. So Forbidden Door is always fun for me. I know it's not everybody's cup of tea because you get a lot of like really weird dream matches in that show. I'm hoping we see Daniel or Brian Danielson maybe have one more match on Forbidden Door. Maybe Will Ospreay goes for the IWGP title against Hirooki Goto, maybe. But we'll see where that leads. We'll see what comes out of that. They'll build towards that. We're building towards All In. Like I said at the beginning of the show, there are four things I need you to do. I need you to hit that like button. I can't see likes right now, so I don't know if we've hit our goal of three. I need three likes on this video. I need you to leave a comment on this video, or if you're listening to the audio after this live stream, leave a 5-star review for me instead of commenting. I need you to share the podcast either on the audio or this video. And then I need you to subscribe because I've placed a goal for the Junkyard Media Group page for this podcast. 100 subscribers by the end of the year. I think that's attainable. We're at 43 now, I believe. So we're almost halfway there. Let's get us to 100. Let's build this community. Join the Discord. That link's at junkyardmediagroup.com. Or you can send me a message on X. And my X is at IBEJYJ. Send me a message. I'll send you an invite link to that if that's how you want to go by that. But I'm going to turn it to the man with the most sauce to say the final words.
Thank you, sir. I do appreciate that. I have two things for you. Next week, I had said possibly something collaborating with Dubby. Stay tuned for that. And then I have, if we get the magical goal of 100, that I will do something. If we get to that before January 1st, 2026, I will give you the details for that next week's show. So with that said, we'll see y'all next week. Have a great rest of your week and upcoming weekend. Watch a lot of wrestling. Let us know what's going on. We'll keep everything updated as well and share our thoughts on all the happenings that are happening in the wrestling world. If we can't be called the Redskins, don't say Redskins. Or if you do, let us have something. I don't know. I think it's stupid. I hate DC politics. Give us a damn stadium in New Jersey's, please. At some point, I'm going to need to buy Jane Daniels jersey if he's good. So we'll see how that works. Anyways, cook up the best, most amazing dishes that include sauce this week. Alfredo, bolognese, marinara, pizza, whatever you want to do. But in the end of it, stay saucy, friends.